Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are on the iTunes search engine and you've entered Warman Kickfighting Show and the show pops right up. Also enter Lord Gaul and the show pops up. So I'll go ahead and go right into the action. Won't be a long show for you today. I'm just going to break down the action that happened in Glory, New York this past weekend, and it was a lot of fun. I was definitely grateful for all the combatants. As a guy who I work in talent ops for Glory Kickboxing, and it was cool to see a lot of fights come to come together. And definitely want to thank Lou and Justin Blair, the guys who do the Glory undercard for us. They put together a really good card that had a lot of great fights. I'm going to go ahead and break down the card in the entirety. We're going to have a short show today, but that will be the focus. I will go from the bottom up. Normally I like the top, start with the top, but I'm going to go ahead and play the game from the beginning of the movie to the end, as opposed to starting with the climax. So, Omar Ahmed came up short in his fight against Nico Tagares, and it's interesting because Tagares is, have you ever seen Nico fight before? He's a tough kid. Bites down on the mouthpiece, walks forward, and he takes a lot of offense. So Omar, scored a lot. Like, he has opportunities. He scored a lot. But it's so tough to slow Nico because he just keeps pushing. He doesn't stop. He's got a really good chin. He's had some losses against some high-profile guys, but he's still able to implement his offense when he moves forward and throw shots. But as far as skill goes, Ahmed, who hadn't fought in a long time, really showed a lot of good skill. I really liked his kickboxing. I liked his overall game, and I'm excited to see both athletes fight again down the road. The next fight on the card I have is I have Avaz Achilov against Malik Blake. The only reason why I'm not going to break that fight down is because it is the only fight that I missed. And I apologize to both guys. I wasn't able to watch it and give them an accurate critique of what I saw that night, so it wouldn't be fair to them. I want to go ahead and be as open and honest as I can when I break down these fight cards, in particular if I'm there live. And I was taking care of something back, behind the scenes. And that one was a real big one for me. So I apologize for not being able to get that. Oh, hold on. My phone's ringing in the background. Sorry about that. My apologies again. As I mentioned before, my phone was going off in the background. I thought I had it off. Apologize for that. Even worse when it's just some, solicitor trying to get me to pay for health insurance that I already have. So I apologize for that. Let me go ahead and get right back into the action, though, because what we want to talk about is this kickboxing game. We talk about the fun and entertaining fights that we had in New York last week. And as I return to the card, the next fight I'm going to talk about, it had the most interesting style of clashes for me. I thought that, I had an interruption, and I apologize if it's showing up, if you're hearing the noise in the background, but like there was just crazy commotion outside, and I didn't want that to get on the air, so I'll go ahead and get right back into the kickboxing action. So as I was talking about before, we had a really interesting style clash between Chavela Lee, a Holland-based Syrianese fighter, as she went against Ginny Nadel. The interesting thing about this fight for me is it came down to skill versus heart, and I thought that Chavela Lee really showed some good technique and some good skill, some good clean boxing. But I thought that Ginny Nadel, who clearly had, a good fan base there in the audience to support her, she just had these moments where she would throw aggressive offense. And when it went down to the scorecards, it was, what did you like more? The clean, solid scores of Chavela Lee, or the aggression and the heart and the persistence of Ginny Nadel? And it went to a split, and they decided to go with Ginny Nadel. Clearly, we'll see more from both ladies down the road. Chavela Lee's got a lot of talent. It's just about making sure she can keep fights in her space. And Ginny Nadel, she knew how to close the distance and be aggressive and keep people from just playing a distance game on her. She can get aggressive at times. She got the well-earned victory. Next fight in the card was Brandon Coutinho as he went against John Morehouse. It's just sometimes it's not your night, and sometimes you just take shots and you're not able to recover. You're not able to get into your offense. And John Morehouse, I'm sure he wanted to have a better showing. Like, he wasn't able to get into his offensive flow, and he never felt comfortable throughout. Brandon Coutinho showed a lot of good skill. He scored several knockdowns in the fight. He plays kind of like all boxing or all kicks. So as he grows, he'll want to blend those together a little bit more. But his stance is very boxer-ish at times, and he does a good job throwing in flurries. But he usually doesn't have a combination of low kick game or a kick to hands game. It was just one or the other. But he's a pretty good athlete. He was able to execute offense, and he got the well-earned victory here. You know, as I said before, Morehouse is just sometimes it doesn't click for you on a particular fight night, and you got to go back to the drawing board and go out there and compete a little bit better. Coutinho needs rounds, many fights as you can get. Definitely consider going to Thailand. You know, he asked me on Twitter what I thought of the fight, and I, you know, told him clear. You know, it's moving you in the right direction, but man, go anywhere it takes to build your fight resume. It's the only way to catch up to the elite in this game. We then move to Zurak Adeshev as he goes against, as he got a TKO victory over Jeffrey Thin. Adeshev just really showed a lot of skill. Came out very explosive. They are both smaller guys, so we're talking about, like, I think the fight was around 130, between 130 and 125, but the explosion in the hands of Adeshev, who was just determined to throw heat from jump, he really, you know, was successful. Thin had some moments, you know, looking for his power shots. The only problem was he continuously ran into the effective offense that was coming from Adeshev throughout, and Adeshev was able to get the stoppage in the first round. Very, very good stuff. Played with a spinning hook back kick, like, he landed good boxing, like, just really complete performance by Adeshev, and I'm excited to see him more down the road. The next fight is one of my favorite fights to talk about because it deals with the part of fighting where you hear about it in movies and you hear it in the gym, and they make kind of like this strange kind of aura about it, but it really is important. It's something to deal with, like, fighting spirit and knowing yourself. So I'll go ahead and break the fight down. Jonathan DiBella gets a clear victory, 29-26 and 30-25 on two scorecards to win the ISKA North American lightweight title. He does this over Ahmad Ibrahim. And Ahmad Ibrahim's been in the game for a really long time. He's you know, based out of Pennsylvania, and he's fought all over. Older in his fight career, but man, he still brings an excellent fight. So this fight came down to how effective DiBella was with his left leg. He really kept snapping it, the meanest left body kick, and it came almost like how Georgia Petrosian shoots it. It doesn't come very wide, but it doesn't come all the way high and turn the knee all the way to, you know, to open your hips to the other side like the Thais would do it. You know, so his left shoulder doesn't all the way, not necessarily on every kick, turn all the way in, but he fires such a powerful left leg, and when you go to his right, he rips a pretty clean right hook. The hook score is good, not a killer, but it scores good. But he showed a lot of good, effective offense, and he scores two downs in round one. So, like, he's just doing, everything's going his way. He's scoring very, very effectively. And at this point, Ahmad Ibrahim gets up, and he's looking over at his corner. And it looks to me like he doesn't want to fight anymore. Looks like he's going to stop. They're saying something to him. He's trying to respond to it. And then he shook his head no, as if he was going to walk off. Like, this is just from my view. I'm right there ringside, and I'm looking at it. He shook his head no, as if he's going to stop. And he took a step towards his corner. And then the ref stepped in front of him and said, "Are you good to continue?" And in that moment, I don't know if you, some people say, man, there's 1,000 people that, things that run through your head. Maybe there's one thing that runs through your head. All I know is in that moment, he had just shook his head no kind of towards his corner as if he was going to stop. And when the ref asked him if he was going to fight, something in him, I don't know if you want to call it the fighter spirit, if you want to call it his heart, or if you want to call it his will, decided to go back out there. And he goes back out there and he lost. He lost a 3-round decision, but he battled back. He looked for offensive moments. It's what we call finding ourselves. It's when you don't, when nothing's going your way. Not just nothing's going your way, you're getting beaten up. And you've got to find something different within you just to continue. And continuing does not necessarily mean victory. Continuing means finishing. And that's what I love about this sport. That's what I love about combat sports. That's what I love about all sports. But in particular, combat sports. It's because you're losing and you're getting beaten up and you get a count. And it's like you have the opportunity to make a decision on whether or not you want to go forward or not. And something in you says, let's go. You know, something in you says, I'll try. I'll keep trying. Like, that's just, it's one of the beautiful, beautiful things about all combat sports. And it was a pleasure to watch the smooth, silky smooth, awesome left leg and right hooks that came from Jonathan DiBella. Man, he showed so much talent. A lot of fun. I can't wait to watch that kid fight again. He was really, really good. He was a talent. And as cool as he was and as good as he was, I was just as impressed by the heart and will of Ahmad Ibrahim, who really did give it his best effort. We move to the main card where Jacob Rodriguez and Joe Taylor. Jacob was a replacement to fight on a few weeks' notice for Glory Kickboxing. But he, you know, won the IFMA Pan Am gold medalist. Talented kid, strong kid. Like, he looks the part getting off the bus. Very, very muscular, tattoos all over, got a mean, aggressive look. And he was, you know, looking for the KO early, throwing, but he was able to also win with clean kickboxing in space. Taylor was kind of more of a move, find a moment. Different style that he was playing with in this one. Could be because, you know, Rodriguez is just as big or probably bigger than he was. Like, so maybe tactically he goes, okay, maybe I don't want to be banging it out this whole time. I've been learning how to kickbox, move, find my moments. Maybe that was his game plan going into this one. Rodriguez was the cleaner score in all three rounds, two of them in particular. And 29-28 on two cards and 30-27 in the last one. I think, you know, Taylor, early in the career, so he'll keep growing, he'll keep fighting, he'll keep learning. And Rodriguez, this is a good win for him. You know, he really wanted to be on this stage. He went out there, got the W, and we'll see more from him down the road. Next fighter on the card is Asa Tenpao, as he gets a first-round victory over Justin Greskiewicz. I've been trying to get Asa in Glory for a while. We just, contract-wise, things didn't work out in the past, but we were able to put it all together. We were able to put him on this card. And Justin, who is a veteran who's literally fought for everybody. And it was so funny that when I was going through Twitter and I saw someone say, wait a minute, Justin hasn't fought for Glory before? Why does that not seem right? The reason why that joke is accurate is because Justin has fought for everybody. He's fought for K1. He's fought for, you know, like Lion Fight. Every possible big promotion, all the big guys in the U.S., people don't realize this. He fought Liam Harrison in Pennsylvania back in the day. So they brought Liam over, and he fought him. So he really did go against the best guys, the Purple People Eater, always with the dyed purple hair. I'm all about Justin Greskiewicz, man. This guy, he comes out there, and he gives his best effort. This fight came together, and Asa seemed determined from the opening bell to send the message. He was so aggressive with his boxing. He found his low kicks in space, but he really focused on the boxing. He was able to land a flurry with some big-time body shots in it. It hurt Greskiewicz. Greskiewicz went down twice due to boxing punches to the body and the knees. And then there was one final flurry right at the final bell, and they called it with 1 second left. Literally, the ref is waving it off as they go to the decision. Like, just literally in that moment, he's waving it off right before they got to the end of the first round. So Asa came out very excited. It was cool to see him celebrating in there with his team. And happy for the guy, put in hard work, really wanted to be in the level, really wanted to announce that he arrived and he was of the level. He did a really good job. As for Justin Greskiewicz, it's like I said before, sometimes it's just not your night, or you run into another person on their best night. So you just got to go back to the gym, look for another opportunity, and look to show your best skill and your best showcase down the road. Just this particular time, it didn't go Greskiewicz's way, and he ran into Asa Tenpao, who really had a fabulous night, and look to hear about Asa fighting very, very soon in Glory for his next Glory opportunity. Next fight on the card I'm going to talk about is Itay Gershon versus Trevor Rajan. Trevor Rajan is a very powerful all-action kickboxer who I first saw on the undercard in Virginia several years ago. I was coaching. I was there with Myron Dennis. And he fought, and he would, like, be calm, and then he'd be explosive, trying to kill with power shots. Then he'd be calm, and then he'd be explosive. So if you're going to score offense, you had to catch him when he wasn't, you know, throwing his heat. So he came out very aggressive. Itay Gershon also came out very aggressive. I mentioned before, when he fought hot, and I almost wondered if he was injured, you know, because he just didn't come off clean, wasn't very aggressive, didn't let his hands go. But this one, he went after Rajan because Rajan went after him. They put on a very entertaining fight. He kept landing overhands, and he was able to land clean kickboxing when he went to it. But really, he focused on jab, jab, overhand a lot, for Gershon. Rajan got caught with a left, went down. But as soon as he got up, he called. I mean, he like waved him in. He said, let's bang it out. And he went to war, even though he was hurt. Caused him to get knocked down again, but he was all game. Goes out there, round number two. Still trying to fight hard. Itay Gershon felt like, blood in the water. And he was all over him. Going for the kill right from the beginning. Threw a spinning back hook kick, which was partially blocked. And then he turned and finished it with his hands. And he gets the KO stoppage in the second round. Very entertaining fight. And even though Rajan lost, he really made a good account for himself. I mean, just good, strong, powerful offense. He really came after Gershon. He looked at this television moment as a moment to really go after. He didn't look at it as, okay, I'm going to be conservative now that I'm here. No, he went for it. So shout out to him. And as far as Gershon goes, man, it's he's a talented guy. This is his third glory win in a row, all of them in New York. We got to use him somewhere else. But he's a lot of fun to watch. This was his best performance, I'd say, of the three. I really thought that he got into his offense and really came out with a lot of aggression. So good stuff for Itay Gershon. Tiffany Van Soos gets a split decision victory over Sophia Olofsson, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. It was such a fun fight. I think the last round was very, very clear for Sophia because even though she wasn't throwing hard, she just kept throwing. Just kept one-twos, 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 jab, jab, twos. Just kept blitzing. She just wouldn't stop. And Van Soos, who's kind of a mover, she was able to find moments of offense that were very sustaining. Round one, I think, is the round that if Sophia could have any round back, it'd be that round. She played with a switch kick, and she's got a really mean, really fast switch kick. I watched her hitting the pads in the back, and I remember thinking, man, that left leg's coming up really fast. She goes out there, and she landed a billion of them against Tiffany. Unfortunately, Tiffany, with the movement and the boxing scores, and you guys who listen to this podcast regularly, you've heard me use this term before, Tiffany was winning. She scored what I call the sexy scores, the ones that the crowd remembers. So a teep to the face or an explosive punch that makes the head move back or some sort of spinning technique. That's the kind of stuff that can win scorecards because it's flashy. It's a unique technique. But round one, I still thought that Tiffany also had more complete offense in terms of she scored more. Like she scored more clean offense in that first round, and then she really dealt with taking the body kicks well. They were slowing her some, but not all the way. Round two, this is what you call good cornering. Whatever the adjustment was that they made in the corner, it worked because Solia Olofsson came out so aggressive in that second round. Like she just kept, she was getting hit with shots. Like Tiffany was still able to land that, like I said, the sexy shots, the ones that moved the head. She was able to run her into power right hands, power lead uppercut, power overhand, like just power. Like she was running Sophia into that offense because Sophia kept pushing. But then all of a sudden, Sophia was throwing 6 and 7, 8 shots, just continuous 1-2s, and Tiffany would try to lean out of the way, and Sophia would still hit her because she just kept moving after her. Round two was a lot of fun, very close round, and the round that would decide the fight, because I thought 1 and 3 were clear for either for both girls who won those rounds. So very entertaining fight. Sophia's legit. I want to see her fight again. I already have some options in mind that I would love to see her compete against. Tiffany, of course, she's right back where she wants to be as far as being in title contention. Maybe she takes one more before she fights the title for the title again. Maybe she takes a break. Nevertheless, it was good to see her back out there. She is very, very talented, and she's a mover. Like she's a very, very skilled fighter. We move on to the Fight Pass main event, which was Cedric Dombey over Alan Shainson. Same thing. Shainson's good, and he's game, and he looks for his kickboxing and spots. But Cedric Dombey has been a different person since. I mean, I'll even go back to, he had some really good rounds against Alim Nabiyev. I thought round one he won against Alim Nabiyev. And I think his lack of aggression in spots, he was upset about it. And he kept saying to himself, man, I really need to train and focus on stopping people and being more aggressive. And he's done that. has done that. The Tung Shai knockout, and then this performance. Shinsen, as I said before, he's a tough game guy. He's coming off of a victory. He had some decisions not go his way in Glory. But he came out, and he was looking to get into his regular kickboxing flow. But Doumbé, it's not just that when he gets his offense going, he's great. It's when he gets his defense going, he's so tough. You know, so you got to be careful about the movement. You got to be careful about, you know what comes from what direction or what comes from what stance. Doumbé's got the complete package. He's got a really good fight game. So he was able to score some successful offense. He scores a down in round one. Allen debated it, but I thought that it was all right down. You know, down doesn't necessarily mean you're hurt. A down could just be right punch, right time. So he goes down. Round two, he scores another big shot that gets Allen in trouble. Doumbé closes the distance. He is throwing a lot of headshots as he looks for the kill. Allen bends over to kind of protect himself. He throws a couple of knees, throws one big one back to the hands, another big one back to the hands, and then the ref steps in and stops it. I mean, Cedric Doumbé is a really, really talented fighter. And, you know, I thought that Allen, game, wanted to get back in there, stood up, like arguing with the ref, thought that he could have continued because he didn't go down. He's a tough guy. You know, he's like the Gotti or Rocky of the weight class. He's going to push it and he's going to come after you no matter what and no matter what's happening to him. So we'll see Allen down the road. As for Doumbé, you guys know what I think about Doumbé. He's a star. He is. When he was walking down, I saw it later pop up on Twitter. But as he's walking down to the ring, someone was like doing the selfie, the when the star pops up behind your shoulder and you pop yourself into a selfie. He saw the fan put their phone out and he bends into the picture and smiles as he's going to the ring. It's just little stuff like that. He took a groin shot early and someone in the crowd said something. He looked to the crowd and he acknowledged them. And it's just like little stuff like that that makes him a star. He's just a great person. This is the second fight that I've had the pleasure to be there for, to watch him compete. And Cedric fights a lot for Glory, gets a lot of opportunities. This dude is good. He's such a talent, but more than just being a talent, he's a star. Like he just has that it factor. So him winning is always good for kickboxing. He's very, very talented, and it's weird. In his debut, he loses to Kangulo for his Glory debut, but I remember watching footage of him thinking, you know, this guy, I think, has got the higher ceiling. Even though Kangulo went on to fight for the title, Cedric lost that night and then beat Kangulo when he was the champion and a rematch down the road. But it just shows that early on, you could see it's not just that this guy is scoring. There's something else about him. There's something else it factor-ish about this guy. So really, really cool stuff. I was really excited to see that victory. We move on to the main card as Elvis Gashi gets a victory over Nick Chastain. You know, Gashi fought very well out in... I think it was Galloway out in London. So here he is a week later, and he has another good outing. Straight left hands, closes the distance, his power combos. But I thought Chastain did a good job of playing with his boxing and really attacking with a low kick. Because if you've ever seen Chastain train before, he's got a really good low kick whip. He's got gets good separation between his knees when he throws his whip. That's a technical term. If your knees are closer together, when you throw your low kick, the less of the impact. The more you widen it as you do the low kick technique, the more it looks like a whip. So you still have to find it. When you have a big whip like that, you've got to be able to really play with your hand offense, or you've got to catch them off guard because they can see it coming because it's a big whip. But he was still able to score very, very effectively to the rear leg of Gashi. He had some good moments in boxing. I thought he performed extremely well, you know, considering he moved up in the weight class. I was just told the other day that he's going to stay at 154, 70 kgs. I thought he did really, really good. Chastain made a good account for himself, and I'm excited to see him again down the road. As for Gashi, Gashi's, you know, king of New York, man. Like, he's one of the better fighters. He's still undefeated. He keeps having success. Strong with his hands. He is hittable. You know, he is hittable. So as he grows, I mean, it'll be fun to see how that, whether he improves on it or whether he just keeps it. It's just a fun, you know, flaw in the game. But he's a talented guy, man. And as far as him, you know, he mentioned he wanted a title shot. It's just going to be who would they move him with next. Do they give him a guy like if Gregorian is unsuccessful in his title bid, does Gregorian fight Gashi? You know, you got to ask that kind of question now. Do they do the rematch with Jonsi? There are things that they can play with in this time. Now, again, we'll see what happens as we move Gashi forward. He is a talent, but in the end, we got to figure out that next step. Next fight on the card we are going to talk about is Victor Pinto and Nate Richardson. This one was a really fun, really close fight. Nate Richardson, very powerful guy. He shoots his low kicks and singles in space, but really the game plan was for him to move forward and throw boxing consistently. Sometimes he stuffed his boxing a little bit, keeping him from throwing hands, but at no period of time did he stop walking forward and not look for hand offense. He was aggressive with the boxing throughout. Pinto also scored really well when he realized he wasn't able to use his kicks and his movements. He was able to bite down on the mouthpiece and throw really clean, effective punches. He was so confident in his body kick, he started doing a jumping body kick. Like, he is a very, very talented dude. Like, really, really put on a good show. Really, really fought well. It went to the scorecards. It was a split decision in favor of Pinto. I thought it was a good game performance by Richardson. The guy was just a little bit out of his jurisdiction. Just a little bit too much for him. That was the only problem. Just in terms of, like, the kick offense in the end. As far as offensive scores, I thought that Richardson was right there. But I just thought that the only difference in the fight was there was a really good flurry, and I want to say the second round, where Pinto threw some hand offense and he finished it with a body kick. But it came right after Richardson had landed some offense with the boxing. So it's just kind of the feel and the flow of that kept that fight from getting all the judges in favor of Richardson. But he fought really well. Excited to see Richardson fight again as he continues to grow. He's fought some tough dudes, you know, in his, you know, three-fight run with Glory. You know, two of those guys have been from Europe. He's fought some tough guys. As for Pinto, everything's good for him. You know, like, he was in a contender tournament before. Any matchup they make for him is good as they continue to try to groom this young man into being possibly one of the Glory stars down the road. So we go from there to Junior Tafa over Anthony McDonald. This was a Twitter beef that finally ended up in a fight. McDonald was, you know, game to play. You know, he's playing the game in terms of getting into Twitter, making the announcements, getting in the New York card off fight anybody. Like, he did a good job. You know, he had the Joker shirt. Did a good job of selling himself. Junior Tafa, who's normally a fun-loving guy that I've been around, was really, really kind of quiet, reserved, aggressive, short. And then after the weigh-ins, normally he says something that sells himself. This time he just went into this, short cursing tirade where he was like, F this guy, I'm going to do some blank tomorrow. Like, he's just real short, wanted to get to it, you know. And the fight, he proved it. The fight was all right. McDonald scored some body kicks, played with some movement. Tafa waited for his moment, and then he was able to score a hook. After the hook scored, McDonald wasn't able to get back into the fight, and Tafa was able to do his thing. McDonald, always down and game to fight anybody in the world, ran into a guy who could really, really hit. And Junior, we'll move on. Clearly, we just need to move Junior with as many pipe fights as possible. No reason to have him. Like, I heard some people saying, man, he needs to be in the title picture. And I'm like, wait a minute. He is technically 2-2 in Glory in a very short period of time. So let's go ahead and one step at a time just start to groom this guy to be a star down the road. Or we put him in there with a guy who reflects his style and is going to, you know, bang back. That's the next thing. So we'll have fun matching him. But Tafa does a good job. I mean, he speaks really well when he gets the microphone in his hands. I'm all about Tafa. Hopefully we will get him back in there soon. And wink, wink, probably sooner than you think. We move on to the title fights. And Pechpan Marung, Kit Moon Not Kao gets a victory over Kevin Van Nordstrom for the interim featherweight title. Super, super, super unfortunate. But Pechpan Marung is a... gets this victory, despite having 2 points taken from him. One of the scores was 48-45, which means they gave him every round and then the 2 points were deducted. The other scores were 47-46 and 47-46 both times, meaning that they went 4-1 for Kevin Van Nordstrom. And really, it's just... the highlights of the fight were Petch every once in a while would, like, you know, beast up and start throwing some strong hand offense, but he'd really look for a lot of clean low kick sweeps. Now, sweeps are illegal if you can do it off the kick motion. If you do it off the catch motion, they'll say something. But if you just do it off the kick motion, it's the balance of the other guy. So that scored, and then early, I'd say there were a couple times where Kevin was able to score some shots. But really, this fight, style-wise, just didn't work out. It's a lot of clinches, a lot of just, they just kept running into each other with their offense. And then, you know, clinching and then stopping, or clinching and then doing the thing where you kind of put your hands up, like, hey, I'm not clinching, he's clinching. Like, that kept happening for both guys throughout. And Kevin's a talented guy. Like, he's a mover. He can really fight. But matchup-wise, this one just didn't click as much as their other fights have had. Petch is your winner. He will go on to fight Robin van Roosmalen when Robin returns from injury. The main event was Alex Pereira putting a definitive end to the trilogy over Yusri Bulgari. Yusri is a really talented guy. Came down, had a really long walkout, got into a single score offense early, which is a little bit different for him because he was able to have success in both of the other two fights with his volume. But this time he played it a little bit slower, played his length, was able to score offense. But Alex was throwing heat from beginning. Like, Alex, from the beginning of the fight, was trying to win by KO. Like, it was so clear he had no plans on fighting for the rest of this evening. So he kept playing jab, jab, cross, 3-2, jab, jab, overhand, you know, power shots and exchanges. He was ready to go. He was looking for power setups. Whereas Yusri was playing movement, playing the game. And then Alex comes out, shoots a jab right down the middle as if to center himself. Then he backs away. And then he returns to exchange range. And even though it looked like he was going to throw something down the center like the jab did, he threw a right hand and got his head to the outside while Yusri was trying to time him and throw a right hand straight. So Yusri's right hand missed and Alex has scored. Not only did it scored bigger because Yusri fell into it. He's moving forward to do his own offense. Big time KO, one of the KOs of the year for sure. Yusri can fight, man. He's a talented guy. He'll be back at the top. I've got no doubt. He's very, very good. But I also need to point out that Alex is legit the clear champion in the 85 kg weight class, 187 pounds. That guy is so good. He's good, and he's being more aggressive. And even when he's losing, he still has the ability to get stoppages late. Think about this. He has KO victories over Israel Adesanya and Yusri Bulgari. That's insane to have that on your resume. So we'll see what happens with him down the road. Maybe he gets the winner of Simon Marcus and Wilness, and that's going on in a couple weeks. So a lot of good options for him. It was a real fun card. And I want to say thank you so much to the New York audience because, you know, when we go to different locations, we never know how the crowds are going to do. I've worked UFC events that I thought were going to be packed and they didn't have that many people in them. And I've worked UFC events that have been people falling out of the stadiums that's so full. And for Glory, one of the places that we go that we usually do a pretty good job of seeing ticket sales because they've done a great job. Justin Blair, Lou, the guys in the New York area have done such a great job of growing kickboxing and Muay Thai there that they've got a fan base that is, you know, that has a thirst to see high level action. They want to see the best out go out there and compete. So when Glory goes to that town, the weigh-in pictures were great. Had a good crowd out there for that. And, man, the crowd we had on that night. I mean, there's a spot here and there. For the most part, we filled that joint up. And, most importantly, for the most part, that crowd stayed for the majority of the card. Because once you get close to 12 o'clock at night, sometimes people aren't as committed. But you guys made that event great. The fighters really put on a great show. And I really think that the kickboxing product will always consistently put on very, very good combat sports action. What we needed was for the crowd to fall in love with the action as much as those who are behind the scenes and those who are putting it together, and they did. It was a real fun night. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being part of the podcast. Got some fight cards in Brazil going down this coming up weekend. I'll talk about those next week and just general kickboxing action. The Kunlun tournament returns. So we got a lot of good stuff coming. But thanks for listening to the podcast. I said it was going to be shorter, but it's actually about average right now at 35 minutes. So thank you, everybody, for listening. God bless and have a good one. Peace.